MZTV.
Christianity is a cult, and I can prove it. Why would I want to prove it? Because I want you to stay out of it. Most of my listeners are out of it. Most of my viewers are out of it. But for those watching over your shoulder, why is this guy, Martin Sender, this radical? Why? What has he got against church? Why is he so against church? Well, church in the Greek simply means out-called group of people. It's not any out-called group of people that I object to. It's the teachings that come through that institution that I hate. And they're very infectious. People think they're going to go in there. Even some believers think, well, I'll just dabble in the organized assembly. Yet they end up being compromised because it's so seductive. So seductive. It's hard to resist it. Today I'm going to look at a phrase we read yesterday in 1 Timothy 4:1. It's a very strange phrase at first glance, but it helps to prove that Christianity is a cult, and it's so seductive, you just need to stay the hell out of it. Just don't play around with it. Don't play around with it. 1 Timothy 4:1. By the way, this is Martin Sender. Hello, welcome to another edition of MZTV. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit is saying explicitly. This isn't Paul saying this. He's just being used as a middleman to get God's words to us. We always need to remember this in all scriptures, but especially in Paul. These are not Paul's ideas that he wants you to know. God has apprehended Paul in order to open up to us his mind and to give us details about what it is to worship him and what it is to worship the false system. Those are the only two things: the true God and Satan and the false system. The most deceptive of systems are those that imitate the true. This is why Christianity is the most dangerous, seductive religion, because it puts the name of Christ on the whole rotting enterprise. Does Buddhism do that? No. Does Hinduism do that? It doesn't even pretend to. Does Islam do that? Be serious. Jesus, when he returns, is going to say to a whole gaggle of people, "Depart from me, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness." Their objection to that is, "Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? Didn't we do wondrous works in your name?" And that's what he says to them, I never knew you. How could he possibly never know people who claim his name? And where are these people who claim his name? Are they in the deepest, darkest bushes of Africa? Are they in the Aboriginal communities in Australia? Are they in China? Are they in Japan? Are they in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia? Where are these people heralding his name? Only one place, ladies and gentlemen, and that is the Christian religion. Many will say to me in that day, many. I've said for years, and it's becoming more accepted now, but back when I was saying it in late 90s, early, mid 90s, it was very withstood, even in the Concordant Publishing Concern, that I was saying that Christianity is false. The whole religion is false. At that time, there was a term called Christendom that people like to box that out over here and say, well, this is the false thing, Christendom. Christianity is good. No. Christianity is rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. It's the most deceptive religion because it names the name of Christ. And it's going to be severely judged. It will be destroyed. The entire religion and its leaders will be destroyed during the tribulation. Mass killing by God, by supernatural means. Finally going to destroy this sick religion from the face of the earth and all the other ones too. But Christianity will be the first to go. Christianity is one of the four beasts that Daniel saw rising from the sea in Daniel chapter 7. It's beastly. It's satanic. It is run by a demon, probably Baal Peor. And the millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions of Christians are worshiping Baal Peor, who has apprehended them, caught them alive. Paul warns it in another place. He wants people to be brought out of the trap, being caught alive there by Satan. Members of the religion have been caught alive in a trap they don't even know they're in. And they don't even know that they're defaming God every day they exist. And every day they speak of their activities and wonderments in the church, they're worshiping a false God and a false Christ. We know that the demons can imitate things. This is why when Saul consulted the witch of Endor to hear from Samuel beyond the grave, she brought someone up and she called it Samuel, but it wasn't Samuel. It was a familiar spirit. This was necromancy, where dark people in touch with the dark arts, attempt to contact the dead. They contact something. It's not Samuel. Imitated Samuel. It was a deceiving spirit. Notice the key word in 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent eras some will be withdrawing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. The same spirits that deceived Saul into thinking that he was talking to Samuel, he wasn't, are the spirits that convince billions that the Christian religion is a legitimate religion. And even some of our own are apologists for the Christian religion. Well, they're sincere people. So is Pilate. So is Herod. So are the Romans who drove the nails through his wrists. They were sincere people. They meant what they did. Very earnest. They believed in it. And you know what? Well, Christians, at least they believe in Jesus. You know who else believes in Jesus? Satan. Satan believes in Jesus. The Spirit is saying explicitly, in subsequent eras, some will be withdrawing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons, one of them being eternal torment, in the hypocrisy of false expressions, eternal torment, a false expression, their own conscience having been cauterized. What is this cauterized conscience? Cauterized means to burn off. Something that is cut short, something that is destroyed. There is a book that I mentioned in my book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, is by Bob Larson. It's called Bob Larson's New Book of Cults. You see, Bob Larson, years ago, set himself up as the mother of all cult detectors. He was the man in the Christian world who will tell you where the cults were, what the cults did, the doctrines of the cults. And because of the wonderful man, Bob Larson, we would all know how to identify cults. The diabolical evil thing was that Bob Larson, by setting him up as the mother of all cult detectors, deflected suspicion that his organization could be a cult. I wonder if the 21 characteristics of a cult fit the Christian religion. One would never suspect so, because a member of the Christian religion set himself up as the one who would tell you where the cults are. Just don't look at the man behind the curtain, okay? One of the earmarks of a cult, I think he had 24, 25, I don't know, characteristics. Oh, by the way, you can read about this in my book, again, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Each characteristic of a cult fit the Christian religion. The old saying, you have one finger pointing forward, you got three pointing back at yourself. Bob Larson, what a diabolical rascal this guy is. Characteristic number 19, characteristic of a cult, coming from the Christian religion itself, never sensing that this very thing applies to it. I mean, big time, you're going to see it. Before becoming Christians, well, the name of this is value rejection. As the recruit becomes more integrated into the cult, that is, into the Christian religion, he is encouraged to denounce the values and beliefs of his or her former life. Why would anybody do that? They all do it. Listen. And here's what I have to say about this value rejection, that is, denouncing the values and beliefs of one's former life. Before becoming Christians, people hear about eternal torment and they're horrified. It repulses them. They can't believe, and they just refuse to believe, that the Almighty loving God would do something to his children that not even they, weak and sinful humans, would dream of doing to theirs, not even if they hated them. This shows good values. The good values are seen in our families. Our parents took care of us and they loved us and they disciplined us, but they would never torture us or hand us over to be tortured and then watch. But after becoming Christians, that is, after being seduced by Baal Peor, by the false god, into this cult, these same people are brainwashed into thinking that eternal torment now somehow illustrates God's perfect love. Now, when a non-initiated person asks one of those dumb questions like, how can eternal torment possibly illustrate the love of God? See, this is the question of somebody not yet in the cult. The Christian, i.e. cult member, answers, well, you see, God's love is not like our love. It's worse. So you see, the pre-Christian / pre-cult concept of love changes radically upon becoming Christianized, which explains why Christians throughout history have been such ferocious warriors and torture mongers. Why should they be more loving than their God? If your God tortures people for eternity, why shouldn't you become imitators of God? God tortures his enemies, I'll torture mine. So the human value system that was in place before joining the cult, before being brainwashed into the cult, the value system where love is love, and it's illustrated in your family. God gave us the family to illustrate love. Well, that's out the door. It's been traded for the imagined divine value system, which the system where love can include pitiless torture. Unbelievable. It's incredible. The whole value system has changed, and the conscience that once would be appalled at hearing of someone tortured or hurt or pained, that value system is rejected. The value system is rejected. This is a common trait of a cult for a new, whole new value system. The human value system, the value system belongs to nature, is jettisoned, and then this new value system where love can include pitiless torture is adapted. This explains why I share this with you. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. Everybody knows my son Paul became a leader in the Christian religion. He was captured by these people, by these evil people. He was seduced into it. And he was telling me, he was able to tell me one day at a park bench in Delaware, Ohio, where we agreed to meet and have it out on these matters. I said to him, Paul, you're telling me if what you believe is true, and he's adopted every single false teaching of the Christian religion. Because he has to. That's the organization he's in. I said, if what you're telling me is true, Paul, your grandparents, my parents, are now, as we speak, burning in hell. They're being tortured by a God who is supervising their torments. And you know what he did? He looked me straight in the eye and he said, yes, that's what I believe. I wanted to put my hand in front of his face and say, Paul, it's me, your dad. I know you're in there. But at that point, I gave up on it because he was so far gone that he could consider people who loved him, who did nothing but care for him and champion him, who brought me into the world, who subsequently brought him into the world, before he got into the cult, he would be horrified at the very suggestion that his grandparents, my parents, were somewhere, anywhere, being tortured by a rogue group of hideous beings, creatures, humans. But in this case, though, now that he's in the cult, now that his conscience has been cut off, cut short, made weird, his value system has been completely altered. Now that he's in this cult and has been brainwashed, these same people who loved him and whom he loved, now with a straight face, without any sense of pain or remorse or trouble or disturbance, can say, yeah, I believe they're being tortured for eternity. If that's not the characteristic of someone in a cult whose conscience has been destroyed by demonic forces who are against God, then I don't know what is.